Hey, Steve, Wendy and I have a question we need to pose your way.
Okie dokie.
All right, so when you're doing the sports and you say that a team is entertaining another team, like I think you said that Notre Dame was entertaining Ball State.
Right.
What exactly do they do to entertain another team?
A lot of people think that all that happens at a basketball game is what you see on the court.
Sure.
But there's a lot of backstage stuff.
Oh, there is.
I think usually the home team does skits for the visiting team.
Skits?
Yeah, sometimes they'll grill out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't see it as being that friendly where you're trying to entertain the other team. Well, I thought you want to womp them.
They're lulling them into
a false sense of security.
You ever have three brats and then try to do a jump shot? It's not easy.
So through food and skits,
right,
the home team entertains the visitors and they lull them, like you said.
Right. Well, sometimes they're dramatic skits, too.
Oh, they are.
They're not always morality plays and things.
Oh.
I hear entertain, I'm thinking dancing.
Yeah, there's always going to be some dancing.
Some
sure.
singing.
Yeah.
Jazz hands.
Yeah.
But everything.
That makes sense.
The fighting jazz hands.
The Utah jazz hands.
Well, good luck to Notre Dame while entertaining their visitors, their opponents.
I'm going to have a difficult time with sports for the rest of the day.
No, please.
No,
come on.
It's okay.
All right.
Just be glad we listened.
There is much to discuss with you on today's show, and let us start out with this. This, as it turns out, is Wendy's last show of the year.
Come on.
I have not been fired.
You've not been fired.
Not this time.
Not this time you've not been fired. But a medical procedure is being performed on you on Thursday.
Finally getting that boob job.
But before we discuss Thursday, explain again to the kids, because Steve and I were mulling this over a little bit this morning, why you're not in tomorrow. Your procedure is Thursday.
This hasn't been on the air yet, right?
No.
Okay.
No. See, all right, here's the deal. I have to be at a hospital at, I believe, 5:30 in the morning on Thursday.
Right.
And I have a lot to get organized.
Yes.
I don't like to be in charge of our household, but at some point I am trying to arrange people to get my kids to school on Thursday morning
because
they don't drive and they can't get there. And quite honestly, they're teenage boys. I worry about them even waking up.
Oh, okay.
With no one in the house.
Those all seem like valid excuses.
My dog is sick. My dog had a stroke or something, and Tiki is not eating well, and so that's worrying me.
Right.
And I have to go shopping and get some items to bring with to the hospital.
What sort of
Here
items,
comes the headline.
For instance, like what are you,
you
shopping
guys
for?
Are really, you know, when I talk to you as friends, sometimes I guess I didn't say not for air.
I didn't hear that phrase, Steve. Did you hear not for air?
I need to get some new bras and some new panties, and I hate that word panty, but you know, my mom passed away 20 years ago, and you know, all of our moms told us always wear clean underwear because if you get in an accident.
Yeah.
Well, same here.
See what I mean?
Same
though?
Here.
Wendy's mom told you that.
You crash into a ditch. You want to have your
clean.
Well,
it would be embarrassing.
So far you pulled out my dog is sick and my mom died. But, so
I'm worried about getting general anesthesia because every time you go under, you wonder if you're going to come back out.
Most people do.
Almost all the time.
Almost every time.
Right. So when my mom would tell me about the underwear thing, I would just go to my drawer and get a clean pair.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes you need, you know.
Special occasion underwear?
Like,
is this a Victoria's Secret surgery you haven't done?
Are you trying to encourage your doctor? Or?
No, because you won't have any on during the surgery. And
We don't know what he's going to wear.
What about that pair that I got you that says Home of the Whopper? You're not going to wear those? Come on.
I just wanted to get some new items because, you know, maybe I'll need a nurse to help me because I'm getting my left knee replaced.
Yeah.
And they do get you walking, like, later that
Immediately.
Day. It's like crazy town.
Yeah.
But, you know, I may need a nurse to, hey, could you grab my toiletry bag for me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I might need help, and I don't want to pull out ratty old underwear.
But you must have some that wouldn't qualify as ratty old.
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
This is a special occasion.
Well,
get yourself something nice.
Treat yourself it is some, really stupid.
Right, nice
but
underwear.
I have brought this up to other females, and they totally understood.
I think this could be a real business opportunity, Bill.
Surgery panties?
Right. Pre-surgical panties.
Surgicals.
Right.
That's a great idea.
Purgicals.
All right. This is a very personal question. You don't have to answer this.
Oh, yes, she does.
You know me. I pretty much answer everything.
In a surgical situation like the one you're about to endure on Thursday, do you go with a matching pair of upstairs, downstairs, or not?
I don't really match.
No?
No.
All right.
I like the wildness of, yeah, you know, something different on top than on bottom.
Now that you're going shopping, you might want to consider matching.
Yep. Yeah, but guys, they're going to put you in a terrible surgical gown, which could they just update that?
Mm-hmm. It's time to get a nicer look for surgery.
Yeah.
Yep, I know.
Like a leopard print.
I know.
While you're out, check Macy's. Maybe you can bring your own.
They might have something. Why can't it tie in the front? Is there a reason it can't tie in the front? It's so much better if it ties in the front.
It reduces escapes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No one's going to run out of the hospital untied.
There is something about having your backside exposed.
Yeah, it's awkward.
And you will on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going in to get Roto-Rooted on Friday. But I'm not getting new underwear for this. I'm just...
Yeah, but you don't have a hospital stay. I have to stay for 3 days.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, yeah. I need to have
a selection of whatever you're in the mood for.
And, you know, I always overpack. My biggest thing is I can't wear makeup.
Oh.
And I can't wear hairspray for surgery or nail polish because they have to monitor you and make sure, you know, they check your nails to make sure they're not blue so you're getting enough oxygen.
Oh, I
had to take all my
that.
Nail polish off and my toenail polish.
Oh.
And then I can't wear makeup because they check, you know, the coloring of your face.
And remind everybody who you look like without makeup.
James Spader.
You're going to think James Spader's going in for knee surgery.
I'm putting some mascara on. I have to put some, and I have to put some hairspray on.
Why?
I got to. You guys, it's just, I have to make, I don't want to just.
Because someone could recognize you. It could be a potential listener who's there who hears you. You don't think so?
No, my doctor knows me. He did my other knee 11 years ago.
Yeah. He has seen you without makeup, without...
And with new underwear.
And with new underwear.
That was 11 years ago.
Did he request this?
No.
This is on your own.
Just please.
Oh, I see you went shopping again, Wendy.
It just seems like a strange excuse for missing a day of work. You're
entitled
to it.
No, that's not why I'm missing a day of work. Plus, I saved up all my vacation time, so it worked out strategically to a T to all the days that I have off, and I thought I would enjoy a buffer day.
Take a day to yourself to reflect.
To get all my papers in order in case something happens.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
No, and I already told Jim if something happens to me, he's completely screwed because I don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
I don't know where
anything is. You do start thinking, I mean, I know it's a morose thought, but you do have that little what if in your head.
And it's very small.
You're gonna be fine.
And,
right,
you know, I don't know of many people who have died from a knee replacement.
Nobody.
I'm sure there are a few.
There's a bunch, but I'm going to say nobody.
So I'm just thinking through because I know you're
Let's
thorough.
Let's laugh at me some more. Go
no,
ahead.
No, I just know you're thorough. So when you're shopping tomorrow, will you have a just-in-case set for the, you know, laying out and stuff?
Yeah.
No.
You should have one final.
Maybe you should.
You should.
I don't care what I have on then. Well, I just hope somebody gets my makeup right. That's all. That's my biggest problem. You got to get my hair and makeup right when I'm in the casket.
That's not a lot to ask.
See, you joke about this, but what if something happens? See, then Steve, you will feel more guilty than anyone else.
No.
Did she have the special laying out pair?
Steve and I have already inquired, and we got the guy who did the makeup for It. The guy who did Pennywise.
You are so mean.
See, now don't
that was good makeup, though. I have
was
to
great
be honest
makeup.
With you.
It was outstanding makeup.
I will be the most shocked if anything terrible happens, Wendy.
Nothing bad is going to happen.
I know.
You're going to be fine.
And you think about it, it's like this guy does 3 surgeries twice a week and has been doing it for 25, 30 years.
He could do it in his sleep.
I know. It's like me coming into work to do a radio show, and some shows are better than others.
Yeah. Worst thing is he'd do the wrong knee.
Right.
No, they honestly put a Sharpie marker. They put an X saying this is the one.
Right.
Which one is it for you?
Left.
Oh, I thought you said it was the right.
The right one was done 11 years ago to the date on December 7th.
Are you sure? Because you've been telling us it's the right.
Mission accomplished, Steve. All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more show. How do you reach us? 312-981-7200 usually gets it done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Now cuts like a knife. If you're just joining us, this is Wendy's last show of the year. She's having surgery. She's having her knee replaced.
Are we, the second half of the show, going to play all butt songs for your colonoscopy that you're having on Friday?
Yes. Yes.
Harry Tynowitz was hoping they didn't mix up our surgeries.
Oh, wouldn't that be a
funny... you a knee replacement and me a colonoscopy.
If you and I were in an episode of Will and Grace, that's exactly what would have happened.
God, are we getting old or what? Look at what we're talking about. Yeah. Most people take a day off to do something fun.
Well, I'm not saying mine won't be fun. See how they adjust the chair.
There's no chair.
There's no chair? I'm out.
You will be out.
I hope it works for you because I told you I've got a guy.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm all right, except what kind of colonoscopy are you getting with a chair, Bill?
I don't know. I thought you sat in a chair. What do you do?
How do they get to you?
It's better for me if they don't. I hope they don't.
It's a colonoscopy chair.
Yeah.
You know, like a massage table has the hole where your face goes?
Yeah, this is the opposite. They don't sell a lot of these chairs, but whatever.
Not yet. Yeah. What's up? Ted, why are you calling?
Well, and this could be really scary, too, if Bill happens to have this thing scheduled for the same day. But what I got to ask you, Wendy, is why are you scheduling these things on Pearl Harbor Day?
Oh, interesting. Is that just it just happened that way, right?
Well, now my procedure's Thursday. Bill's prep day is Thursday. So when's Pearl Harbor Day? Oh, the 7th.
Yeah, 7th. Yeah. December 7th. Yeah.
Bill, if I was you, I would change that.
Maybe.
Big time. You know.
I can't. I've thought about ways to get out of this, but I can't get out of this
because
I've put this off for years. So it's time to have this done.
Yeah. You don't dare do that.
Yeah.
The other one part that I mean, this is kind of morbid, but it should put your mind at ease at least a little bit, Wendy, is that if things really go bad and you end up in the casket, they're only going to make that goof once. You'll be fine.
There's the silver lining.
See?
Yep.
Ted, are you going out to lunch with Bill and Steve Bertrand after the show today? Because you guys would get along quite well.
This conversation I think I'm going to avoid, especially after getting into the colonoscopy.
Thanks,
all
Ted.
All right, thanks for calling. And just a quick little question, and I don't want this to be all surgical talk.
No.
We'll talk about your colonoscopy next segment.
All right.
Jan, how are you?
I'm just peachy keen. How are you all doing?
Good.
Couldn't be better.
Okay, now you don't have to take your nail polish off.
Oh.
I had bilateral knee replacement, both of them done at the same time. Same time Edgar was in the hospital, I was in the hospital too.
Edgar?
Same hospital. James
Edgar. Oh,
I mean,
our former
Edgar.
Governor?
Governor Edgar, yeah.
Yeah, once upon a time, but I had mine both replaced at the same time, and you don't have to take your polish off.
I was told I had to.
Well, they're a bunch of toads because, they use up.
Wow. Things took a turn there.
Jan, did you get new bras and panties for your surgery?
No, honey. No, I didn't.
How about the governor? How was the governor dressed?
I don't know. He was on a different floor, but I was on a different floor than the governor.
Oh, Jan, you have made me giggle. So your knees are okay now?
Oh, they're wonderful.
And how are your nails looking?
Oh, they're just lovely, too.
How about that?
Purple.
Everybody's in good shape.
Thanks so much.
Right. But, you know, they always said you shouldn't have your surgery done in the wintertime.
Why is that?
Don't tell her that.
Because the ice and the bad weather. If you're going to rehab, which you're probably going to have to do someplace, either with PT, physical therapy, or whatever, you're going to have to go in and out of possibly icy places.
Yeah, I'll be okay. I want to be ready for swim season because if you do it in the summer, you can't swim.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I did it in the spring, you see, so I was back to work in 5 weeks.
Oh, that's good timing.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Jan, have a nice holiday season. Merry Christmas if you celebrate.
You do the same. Merry Christmas to y'all.
Thank you. Can I confess something?
Yeah.
When she said Edgar was in the hospital, I thought she meant Joan Rivers' husband.
I did too.
Really?
Is this Joan? Jones? This isn't Joan.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. And one more. Barbara's on the line. Hi, Barbara. They're trying to scare me.
Hey, listen, I'm going to try to cure you, too. I had two knee surgeries. The last one, I was, believe it or not, I call it like a dry cleaners. In by 9, out by 2.
Wow.
Okay.
That fast?
So arthroscopic you had, correct?
Oh, no. Got a whole knee replacement. And I got the scar to prove it to you. The first knee, I was in the hospital for a day and a half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the second knee was the same day.
How do they do it that fast? That seems impossible.
Well, you don't go home early.
Yeah.
You know, you have the surgery early. You go home later in the day, providing you're up to it. You have to go, like where I went in Sycamore, you have to walk down to the what they consider the exercise room, more
yeah.
or less, to see how you're doing.
Yeah.
And they said, you're ready to go.
That's so
and
fast.
I
never heard of that.
Yeah, and believe it or not.
You're a phenom.
I said, well, if I had another knee, would this be a drive-by? And the doctor said, it could be.
Drive-through. I think you meant drive-through, right? Drive-by seems very violent to me. Let's go with drive-through.
Drive-by, put my leg out, do the surgery, go to the next window.
Do you want fries with that?
Yeah, it's that quick. Wow, well, that's a miracle.
Well, thank you for calling, Barbara.
Hey, good luck, and you're going to be great, okay?
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it. The first knee surgery I had in high school, mm-hmm. they put the incision on the inner portion of my leg. So Dr. William Haina, a million years ago, was one of the Bears doctors.
Yeah.
And for women, they did the scar on the inner portion of your knee, like curved.
Just for women? Why
yeah, because
just for women?
It didn't show as much.
Oh, I guess so.
And
yeah.
So the one I'm going to have now is just straight.
Well, now they go in through your belly button. You know that, right?
It's all internal.
Yep.
I just should have taken today off. Too,
which of
know?
The bears was it? Was it Baby Bear?
Which one?
I don't know.
Wendy's
I'm done
confused.
With you both.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll regroup. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Let's enjoy life. Clean, cold, and healthy
tonight,
living.
You're prepping, you're calling tonight. Take some more bowel prep tonight. You just don't know. You might not make it to the toilet. You better squeeze tight.
All right, now I don't feel well.
You know what's funny is, yes, I'm having my knee replaced, and, you know, people will envision me having my knee replaced,
yeah.
but you're having a colonoscopy, and people will
there's
envision
no reason,
that.
There's no reason to do that. There's no reason to do that at all.
Love it.
All right. Very quickly, last night on Stephen Colbert's show, Billy Bush shows up. It's his first interview in a year. We all know what happened on the bus with Donald Trump. So he wanted to address that because he has written an editorial that appeared in the New York Times, and he wanted to address why.
Right? Why now? Why wasn't this before?
Well, he wrote it now because Donald Trump last week said that the tape had been doctored.
Oh, my God.
That he didn't really do and say all the things that we heard him do and say on the bus. And Billy Bush wanted to make it very, very clear that, yes, he did. He did say all the things. He was there, and he did say all the things that we heard on the bus. So Stephen Colbert did, I think, a fantastic job of asking him just the right questions. Here's the strangeness of this all. As you know, I have never been a fan of Billy Bush's in any way, shape, or form. I just think he's awful.
Yeah,
terrible.
I agree with you.
Just as awful as can be. That said, I actually came away feeling sorry for Billy Bush.
We both kind of...
In the past, we've mentioned...
When this came up,
yeah.
It's kind of like he was just... He's got Donald Trump. He's doing what he needs to do to continue the interview.
Right.
Because
right.
if he said something like, boy, you're a bad man, that would have been over and done with.
He explained, and I have this clip, that at the time, this is 2005... Donald Trump was riding very high. Well, he is now, too. Spoiler alert, he's doing pretty well right now, too. But back then, The Apprentice was at its peak, and Donald Trump was a force to be reckoned with on television, and he was doing what I guess a lot of people in that situation would do, and that's to placate him, to let him know that whatever he is saying is amusing. So here's that moment where Stephen Colbert asks him, and he played, and I won't play the clip for you, because I think by now everybody has either heard it or seen it, but he played that clip, and then he asked him, you know, what's your reaction to that now when you hear that? So here's Billy Bush from last night on Stephen Colbert.
You know, it was 2005, and his ratings were through the roof, and he was the big star of NBC. And I sort of equated what he was saying to some kind of, you know, crass stand-up act, like, you know, Andrew Dice Clay performance. You figure that's not Dice when he's home. He doesn't actually do those things.
But the camera wasn't on him. Why did it seem like a performance to you?
because he was just regaling the seven guys on there and doing his bit. And
so you think he was just sort of lying?
If I had thought there was a man detailing a sexual assault strategy to me, I would have called the FBI, not just reported it to my executive producer. So, you know, that was it for me.
They both talked about the fact that the end result of this was that Billy Bush was let go of both of his jobs, and Donald Trump went on to be the president of the United States.
Doesn't
and they were
seem
both
fair.
Saying, right, that's kind of out of whack, isn't it? And,
yes.
And I have to say, I know you agree, it is out of whack. It doesn't make sense. You would have thought if anyone would have been harmed by that tape, it would have been Donald Trump. Billy Bush might have got a slap on the wrist. They would have said, hey, in the future, be careful at what you're so amused by. And you really, when you hear Donald Trump telling his story of what he or somebody in his position is allowed to do, you do hear Billy Bush kind of cackling and really enjoying
Whoa,
it. Yeah.
Well, he, again, is doing his job to keep the interview rolling.
I think so, too. I hate to admit it. I think so, too. And this part wasn't the interview. There were other parts of that day where Billy Bush was interviewing him. And what you were getting was a whole day of Donald Trump. He was appearing on a soap opera, on an NBC soap opera. So Billy Bush's job was to be with him and chronicle everything that was happening that day. So what we heard in that tape was kind of not so much an outtake, but kind of a private moment.
A behind-the-scenes kind of thing. Because there was a moment, and I was just thinking about this. I can't remember who the guest was, and even if I did, I wouldn't say it. But you and our guest were not seeing eye-to-eye on the person in the White House.
Yeah.
And you guys were having a conversation, and you realized you weren't going to change his mind and vice versa.
Yeah.
So you didn't, like, say, oh, I love him too, but you just kind of stopped talking. If you would have really kept going, he would have walked out during the commercial break.
I think he would have.
So, do you remember this?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember who it was.
He's a comedian and an actor. He's in There's Something About Mary. He's
yeah.
in a bunch of movies.
I can't think of his name for the life of me. Yeah. But it was really getting a little tense in
right.
here, and you just kind of backed down because had you really spoke your mind, I feel like he might have gotten mad and walked
right.
off. So Billy
right.
Bush was just doing like in between. Takes in between an interview, just as you mentioned, just placating him and just like, yeah, if he really thought that he was depicting an actual event,
right?
I'm sure Billy Bush would have said something. I don't like the fact that our president spoke like that at any time,
right?
But I kind of chalked it off to whatever. He was just trying to act
okay.
cool in front of Billy Bush.
Okay, so if you take that tack, then you are saying that you don't believe the president did those things, so then you can't use those against him, right? You can't say, well, Billy Bush would have turned him in if he really believed the president grabbed women the way he said he grabbed women.
I don't believe for a second that Donald Trump grabbed women the way he said he did.
Or that he walked right up and kissed them and things like that?
Well, that I kind of can believe.
You know, see what I'm saying? I mean, you can't, on the one hand, say, well, of course he didn't mean it, that's why I didn't report it, and then 2 days later say, look what the president said himself.
I guess you're right on that.
But as it was made clear yesterday during the interview, because they were trying to they were establishing some sort of a timeline of why why would President Trump take a story that had already come and gone
and bring it
back
up,
reignite it,
because that's what he does.
And
come on, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Right.
Can't let that one go.
Right. So they were trying, and then the question was asked of Billy Bush, so why your response? And he said, because it bothers me that he, Donald Trump, is messing with people's lives. He goes, here's 20 women who have said that Donald Trump has done inappropriate things to them sexually, and that had kind of died down a little bit, and then all of a sudden Donald Trump reignites it, and he said, and that's the part that really bothered me, is now 20 women now who were trying their best to put it behind them, all of a sudden it's at the forefront again.
Well, why hasn't anything been done about those 20 women?
Because they're still trying to determine what to do about it. They still don't know exactly what course to take with this, you know? And who knows if that'll ever be solved or not, you know?
Boy, we lived in a mixed-up world, don't we?
Then and now. I mean, you know, that was 2005. That was 12 years ago. But as we know from everything we've seen over the last 5 or 6 weeks, it's gotten worse and not better, right? So last night was a very mixed bag for me because I so don't like Billy Bush. And I have to say this. Stephen Colbert introduces him. He got huge ratings last night. This was one of the biggest rated shows that Colbert has done.
Because of Billy Bush?
Yeah. Because it was the first time Billy Bush showed up anywhere to talk about it. And it did. I'm looking at the ratings. It got gigantic ratings last night. So when he introduces him, when Colbert introduces Billy Bush, you know how it's customary in a situation like this. You say the name of the guest comes out to thunderous applause. Not last night. A smattering of applause. The band actually started playing a little bit louder than normal to mask the fact that people in the audience weren't really responding to the fact that Billy Bush was there.
That's pretty interesting. But yeah. People were watching.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stop. I mean, I needed to see this. I needed to see his version of this.
And I, again, am not a fan of his at all. I don't miss him on TV because I never watched him, but I thought he got an unfair shake on this.
Yeah. And I do think with him, you know, we talked about this yesterday with Eric Zorn. Who recovers from this bout of sexual harassment? Which of the big names comes back and works somewhere again? I do think at some point somebody's going to hire Billy Bush again. I don't think you've seen the last of him. I think somebody will hire him because he did kind of a cookie cutter job at what he needed to do.
Yeah.
You know, he was always well prepared. Didn't really bring much flair or excitement to anything. Well, I shouldn't say that about the excitement. I guess he did. Trump interview.
Yes.
But, you know, he was always what I always call that triangle of vanilla. Those guys that just show up and there's nothing special about them. They fit the suit. They're
Carson
like Johnny
Daly.
Bravo. Yeah.
And who's the other one?
Ryan Seacrest.
Ugh.
You know? All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's going on in the world of tech. It's Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, and Bridget Carey is with us from CNET. You can find her at CNET.com. And we're into December, and all I know is I'm pretty excited. There's a new EOS, as Bill calls it, an iOS update. And what do we need to know about this, Bridget?
Well, it's something that has Apple's new thing called PayCash. It lets you pay people through chat if they're also like an iPhone user. It's called Apple PayCash. It's kind of like how Venmo works, if you're familiar with that. You can pay someone back in a text message, essentially. When you get money, you can also use that money. It actually stores it in like a special account where you can maybe, if you go pay with your phone somewhere, that money can then be used to, I don't know, pay for a burger at McDonald's or whatever. And if you want to put it in your own bank account, it'll take up to 1 to 3 business days.
I like updating when there is an update because my phone, I was looking at it and all of a sudden it made this weird like hissing click noise. You could see like lines going through it. And it just
not good.
Crashed. This has never happened before, and I was worried I wasn't going to be able to restart it again. So when it restarted, I noticed there was an iOS update, and I updated it because I thought something's going wrong here. And knock on Formica, I haven't had an issue. This was a couple days ago.
Well, actually, the latest. I mean, I can't speak for like the crazy thing you just described.
I know, isn't that weird?
Yeah, but I can say that people are reporting that it's a little wonky in general because, you know, Apple patched this bug and sent an update to patch the bug, but then they pushed out an iOS update that didn't have that bug fix back in it, so it put the security hole back in it. And then there's this, and even though it's 11.2, the version that's coming out now, the Apple Pay Cash is being rolled out slowly, so you may update and still not be able to do it. I think they're a little sloppy in the past week, definitely. So I wouldn't say rush out to go get Apple Pay Cash. Like, who cares about that? I would just wait a few days to hear any more reports, because I'm sorry you went through that. It does sound like it was
scary.
I personally have not updated because I just haven't backed up my phone yet to do that. So I kind of felt like my laziness rewarded me there.
Bridget, there's a bunch of topics you wanted to discuss, and I don't see this on there, but I'm just curious. Do you know anything? I saw a word the other day that PayPal says that they may have been compromised, that somehow somebody was able to hack PayPal. Do you know anything about this?
Oh, I actually haven't. I feel like this has been the year of hacks. I'm just writing like a roundup right now of how cybersecurity has been like such a major talking point this year, because if you look back, we had the Equifax hack exposing like half of American security numbers. You had Yahoo admitting, the largest breach in history, 3 billion, all of its users, you know, everyone was hacked in that compromise. And it just, there was something every single month that it's sad that another hack kind of doesn't really, you know, can kind of fly by and you're like, oh, another one. But certainly, hopefully this brings it to a point where it's companies are not thinking about being reactionary, but being proactive and preventing stuff.
Explain this. Speaking of hacks, we got a call from our credit card company about 3 weeks ago saying that my wife and daughter were in a Chipotle a couple months ago, sometime in the late summer, and that Chipotle was hacked while they were in there. So their credit card, just by virtue of being on premises, is suspect and may have been hacked. Do you know anything? I don't see how that's possible.
It is possible. This means that that particular company was very poor about how they use their data, and it could have been anyone who was let in access. This is how it happened at Target. People who were shopping at Target a few years ago, the guy who was like fixing the AC had access, it was an illegitimate person, but that's how hackers get in sometimes, by like an outside person coming in to do service, quote unquote, and they can do something to the data. And it's another reason why things like Apple Pay are actually more secure. People get sketchy when they say, oh, I don't know if I want to pay with my phone. That feels really weird. Actually, that store, whether it be Chipotle or somewhere else, when you pay with NFC on your phone, they're not getting your credit card number. They're getting a random digit that's kind of encrypted.
Yeah.
And then, it does get lost. The hackers don't have your credit card information.
Yesterday, I had my 18-year-old fill up the gas tank. He's just learning how to drive on his own. And I said, you put your debit card in there and it says, is this a debit card? And I said, always hit no. And he said, why, Mom? It is a debit card. I said, because when you can get around punching in your PIN, get around it. Use it as a credit card. And we spoke to someone who is our friendly hacker, remember, Bill? And he said, don't punch in your PIN unless you have to. I mean, treat it as a credit card because there are more backups to help save you. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. In terms of security, you are much safer either using a credit card or, like you said, having the option where you do that. But I actually stopped using my debit card. I don't trust companies anymore. That they could be a big name, but I don't know what they do, and just hack every month. I just rather pay by credit card and pay off my credit card as best I can.
I know. The debit card is, it used to be a great thing because I never have cash on me, and now it's like you're scared to use it.
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. All right, and what else do we need to know? I know you have another interview scheduled. Is there a quick something you'd like to mention on this Tech Tuesday, Bridget?
Well, it's not just Apple talk. We could talk about Android. They have a new update out today, Android 8.1, and their big update is new hamburger emojis.
Oh, my God. I would use that frequently if I had an Android.
There was a crisis because the Android version of the cheeseburger put the cheese underneath the meat on the bottom with the bread. Yeah. And everyone was like, what are you doing? That's not how you have a cheeseburger. So they had to remake the icon to put the cheese on the meat patty. And if you think that's bad, Samsung folks have it also rough. Their icons have the lettuce separating the cheese and meat patty.
No. Come on.
These are the big issues that, Google is solving right now.
Bridget, you've saved Christmas. Google and you have saved Christmas. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Bridget.
It's Bridget Carey from CNET, everybody. CNET, it's right there on your computer. Look it up. Wendy, Josh Gondelman is here.
And I already feel like an old lady.
Why do you feel like an old
Josh
lady?
Because Josh walked in and I'm like, yes, I'm getting my knee replaced on Thursday.
No, that it's going to make you a newer lady.
I guess.
You're going to have a robot knee.
Yes, it is.
I guess.
Nothing but good news.
I just feel old. And you look so young. I feel like we could be your parents or your grandparents.
No, get out of here. I'm young, but I'm bald beyond my years. So I'm
good for you, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. No,
that's great.
Pleasure.
I have to warn you, Wendy has a thing for the Jewish fellas.
Oh.
Yep.
That's sweet.
Yep. You're Jewish? I wouldn't know you're See, you all from laugh at me.
From my last name and face and general demeanor.
We've had rabbis sitting here and Wendy go, you're Jewish? I did not know you were Jewish.
I can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is a pleasure to meet you. You are handsome.
Thank you. Likewise.
I want to ask you just real quickly before we get started. You had mentioned off the air that you're from Boston. Why don't you have a Boston accent?
It got worked out of me in college. People would make fun of me for saying stuff like bubbla, which is a water fountain.
Bubbla? Oh, yeah, a bubbler.
Like yes,
a bubbler.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. I need a translator.
So was it a gradual process, Josh, or was it like overnight where all of a sudden you just shedded the Boston
it
accent?
It was. I never had a harsh one. I never had a hash one. Guy,
yeah,
it was always mild, but it was over the course of my freshman year, people just make fun of me, like you can't say everything is wicked something,
right?
And I was like, why not, dude, kid, guy.
They do tend to use the word wicked as like a filler word all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And yeah. I'm trying to reintegrate it into my vocabulary because yeah. I think, why should I be ashamed of my terrible heritage?
You should.
I just don't know how you can get rid of a thick Boston accent that wonderfully.
Thank you.
I don't hear any remnants of it at all.
People think I'm Canadian. I'm also, it doesn't stick because I'm polite. And so it's very difficult to have a Boston accent when you're not just like yelling at strangers.
But a Canadian accent and a polite accent. Accent are almost
very
the same.
Yeah.
They're almost
the same. Venn diagram is very close to eclipsing one another.
Josh is performing at Zany's. Now through Wednesday, December the 6th, all kinds of chances to. Well, wait, Wednesday's tomorrow. That's
tomorrow.
Fast.
So tonight, tomorrow.
That's it.
Yeah, I was there last night. It was wonderful.
And you did the one on Wells.
Yes,
the original Zany's.
So fun.
Yeah,
yeah. It was my first time through, and it was really a pleasure.
Don't you get the feeling when you're in there? There's some rooms. I started to tell you this before we were on air. They're just built for comedy. They're shaped like a box,
yep.
And there's no distractions. You got to focus on the show.
100%.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and it's clearly like you're there to see comedy in a room. It's not a bar that was like, maybe we can wring a few extra dollars
right.
out of some saps by
right.
having a guy talk for an hour.
Right.
So it's a lovely place to see a show, it feels like, and it was so fun to perform there.
Do you ever, like before you perform, you walk around and you can see the history of the room because they have pictures of all the other comics and you go, it really is a who's who of stand-up comedy the last 30 years.
It is really cool. It's great to see like old 30-year-old headshots of people that I
yeah.
started looking up to. And like, it's awesome. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fun.
Who are some of the people you look up to?
Oh my gosh. I'm so Boston-centric too, like, because it's just people that I saw when I started. So like
Dennis Leary, probably.
Love him. I love him.
He was like a legendary, and we're stylistically very different, but like even like a Gary Gulman.
He's starting, so good.
Bill Burr, when I started, was like a guy that is like, oh, he's from here? That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Mike Birbiglia is from there. Mike Kaplan. There's
Lenny
so
Clark.
Many wonderful. Lenny Clark, yeah. Tony V. There's like, it's just such a history. And so, yeah, and there's so many people that I just would name. It'll sound like the end of a rap song from the 90s. I'll just name everybody I've ever known and liked.
So every city does have a personality when it comes to the stand-ups they produce. Boston's is a very well-read group of guys. They're really a very intelligent bunch of stand-up comics.
You. I think it's like smart and aggressive. That's what I like about Boston, where you get like there's like colleges and then sports. So it's people who will curse you out, but you have to look it up afterwards. You're like, what did he call me?
It should take a little work, though, shouldn't
yeah,
it?
I think don't just spoon feed it to him.
Yeah. Have you gotten to meet or work with the heroes? Have you worked with any of these guys?
Yeah, I got to, a lot of those people I have, I got to work with Stephen Wright a few years ago, opened for him at a theater in Western Mass. It was,
was like
really a thrill. He was so nice. And I got to sit, and he kind of sits and plays, he sits and plays guitar for part of the show. So I'm sitting backstage, and he's sitting, and we're just like at eye level. And I was like, oh, this is such a thrilling experience to get to see this person who I like admire so much, and to have been on the show with him, and then to get to watch this kind of like from intimately backstage.
Yeah.
Really cool.
I didn't realize Stephen Wright was still performing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he picks his spots pretty judiciously, but he... occasional theater gigs, and it was
I loved him.
A friend of a friend booked me, friend John, and so he called me on a way. I just moved to New York a month and a half ago, and he said, can you come back up to Massachusetts and open for Stephen Wright on Friday? This is Wednesday. And he's like, can you open for Stephen Wright on Friday? And I said, yeah. And he said, don't you want to look at your calendar? And they said, no. What am I doing that's
I
better than that?
I just became open.
Yeah, right. I've cleared it.
Right.
I had nothing. It's like, what am I doing?
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, you are a writer for the show that I consider to be the best written comedy show on television right now, Last Week Tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Every week I watch and I say to myself, I don't know how they produce a show that quickly that's that informative and funny at the same time.
Thank you.
It's amazing the work you guys do.
I really appreciate that. That means a ton.
When you got that job, did you have any idea? Because I know you were there from the beginning,
yeah.
Right? So there was no really inkling of what that show, the importance that that show could be, right? You couldn't have guessed that.
No, I didn't know what it was going to be. I knew news-based, and I knew John, obviously, who's so funny and was so funny on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have an idea for like what the feel of the show was going to be in the structure. And then kind of it even took a few weeks like watching it from the inside to emerge, because we do these like long mm-hmm. comedy, like, you know, issue news based topical comedy pieces. And so it took a while for like the one on the first show was like 8.5 minutes about the election in India. And then the next one was like 13 minutes about the death penalty. And mm-hmm. they're like, and I think the idea was like, if people will watch John talk about the death penalty for 13 minutes, they can watch him talk about anything for any length of time. So kind of open it up, and we do pieces that are like 20 something minutes at times.
But when it was first conceived,
yeah.
When Last Week Tonight was first conceived, nobody was thinking, well, we'll have Donald Trump to play off of. The thought originally was we'll just take different topics every week. But Trump was just a gold mine, right?
Well, I think, yeah, someone's nightmare came to life.
Yeah.
And now it's – I honestly, like, miss before.
Do you?
I do, because it's so hard because he's so consistent.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, how many more times can we say, like, this person is mean and incoherent?
Yeah.
And so it's – a challenge to think about new ways to cover this person.
I guess that would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, Donald Trump provides his own material, definitely. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You don't want to keep rehashing the same stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, he's doing new things all the time, but like the tone is so similar
right.
that it's hard to, and it's so dense to unpack, because sometimes he'll say something and you go, well, I mean, that I think was a lie. That was a misreported fact, and then that was just babble. So, like,
right.
It's hard to, like, dig in and write jokes when you're like, okay, because our show, we try to, like, explain things really thoroughly with
yeah,
the jokes.
Sure.
And it's hard to write, like, an explanatory joke when it has to do so much work to be like, I don't know what he meant when he said that,
yeah.
but I know, like, we could all die because of it.
Why, and I don't know how this came to be, but I'm okay with it.
No, that's okay.
There's almost a weekly gouge toward the Olsen twins.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
positive why, but I enjoy it every week.
I don't remember where that came from, but it's so funny. And I love, like, one of my favorite things is when we can get John to say things that are just, like, objectively ridiculous or dumb.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love that he'll there's, like, a theory on the show where he thinks the running joke for, like, the whole season four was that he thinks that the Olsen twins are one person
right.
who moves very quickly back and forth.
Right.
And there's like no explanation for why he thinks that. There's no sourcing. And he just will just like he'll say it
yeah.
and get like so animated about it. And that
yeah.
makes it so fun because he's so – I think so much of the show, the comedy is so sincere and
yeah.
comes from such a heartfelt place.
Yep.
And to get him to just be like a total lunatic for like 30 seconds and just like, I know I'm about to break this thing wide open, but British. And – it's so fun.
It's great. I love it.
It's a blast.
Josh Gondelman is here. Stand-up comic, writer. You can see him at Zanies tonight or tomorrow night. All the information is at zanies.com. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Josh Gondelman. He's one of the writers for one of the sharpest written shows on television, Last Week Tonight. He's appearing at Zanies tonight and tomorrow night. Go to zanies.com for all the details. Talk, if you would, Josh, about the difference between writing for yourself and writing for somebody else. When you're doing stand-up, you've got one process, but when you're writing for somebody else, I imagine it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely different, especially writing for someone like John, who's so funny and so smart. I feel like I do a lot more looking things up. When I'm writing my own stand-up, I get to say whatever I want, and if I'm wrong, that's fine. But I have when I at my job, there are standards, and
yeah.
I have to meet them. But I do think I learned this from Brian Kiley, who's a long time from Boston, super funny
yeah.
Boston comedian originally, who's written for Conan for years and years, who just like doesn't do topical stuff in his stand-up act because he just puts that all into the writing for Conan. And that
yeah.
was like drawing that line was really helpful, because then I can go, okay, here's what I do at work, and like anything else is going to be that's for me. So like I don't have to worry, you know, when I'm writing for, when I'm writing a joke about my dog, mm-hmm. I don't have to be like, maybe this is good for the show. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, the nation doesn't care about my fat little pug. Although they should. She's adorable.
What's her name?
Busy.
Oh.
Yeah, she's precious.
Busy the pug.
Yeah, she's very good.
Is it anything like what we saw as kids on the Dick Van Dyke Show? Is the process anything at all like what Rob Petrie went through?
It is. I mean, it's a little less silly.
Yeah.
It's because so much of it with what we do, it's like reading articles and watching documentary footage.
It's like homework, for gosh sakes.
There's a lot of, I mean, there were episodes, we did an episode on the opioid crisis, which was like very difficult to find funny angles in them because yeah. it's such a tragedy. And I remember there were 2 days where my whole job was I was sitting in my office watching documentaries about opioid addiction and drug manufacturing, just kind of like on the verge of tears in my office because it was so serious, being like, this is comedy. This is what I wanted. This is my dream.
But a slightly different approach than you had yeah. anticipated.
And when I do stand up, I would say my preparation involves very rarely crying at documentaries.
And when you're writing for someone else, the pressure's on because people will judge you if you suck.
Yeah.
You know what I
Definitely.
Mean?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, when it's me, I don't mind, like, you know, I trying something and failing that's not the ideal. But when I'm doing something for myself, it's okay if it goes a little sideways from night to night. Or, like, you know, I have one new joke somewhere yeah. that doesn't work at an open mic or something and it doesn't work. That's fine. But, like, if I'm, yeah, handing in bad stuff to my boss, like, someone sees it right away and goes, like, ugh, you know,
right, that's bad. Somebody bad, right?
Yes,
like, that's always bad.
You know, this is bad. You have to know this is bad. So it's definitely, you have to bring it day to day.
Explain this to me because I can't figure it out. And I watch the show every week, but it's masterful how you guys pull this off. There will be a topic and there's a narrative that goes A to B to C to mm-hmm. D. And I can't figure out how it is that everybody's jokes just fit into that narrative. Who's doing that?
Well, I think they try to be very careful to make sure that everything fits together yeah. really nicely. So, like, the process of making the week show is a little longer than the week. It goes a couple extra weeks. And so it's like the writers, there's a great research staff, there's a whole team of people that deal with the footage and like finding really interesting footage. And then John and one of our executive producers, Tim, are like really, really hands-on and smart and thorough about getting in there and making sure it sounds right, making sure the story's right. And it's very collaborative with the writers and the research and the footage people. So it's like a whole wonderful team yeah. effort. And then they're really scrupulous about making sure the jokes fit the piece and the tone and the substance, and that it's not kind of non sequitur jokes.
You guys pull it off beautifully.
Thank you.
That's a lot really of work, kind. Man.
Yeah, it's, so much.
It is. But it's nice, and it's like it's a great place to work. Everyone's really great to work with.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of what we do. So it makes it better, you know, because comedy, like stand up comedy, is a job, but it's travel and then some writing and then an hour a night.
Yeah.
And then this is like, oh, I go to an office.
It's a real job.
like a grown up.
It's a real job.
Do you have a briefcase?
I don't have a briefcase.
Oh, you got to get a briefcase.
I still have a backpack.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm not all the way grown up.
Right.
Did you see any of the footage? John was hosting an event at the Tribeca Film Festival with Dustin Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And he kind of called Dustin Hoffman out on some things that had happened in the past. Are you up on any of this?
I didn't see the footage, but yeah. I read, like, last night I saw an article. Someone had tweeted it at me.
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems like that I think John has strong beliefs, and he is and I appreciate that, like, it's instructive and inspirational to me to watch someone who, like, thinks a thing and vets it right and tries to say the thing that he thinks is right rather than the thing
yeah.
he thinks is easy. And I think that was like a righteous way to behave, to kind of like to bring up the elephant in the room instead of being like, look, we're all here to have fun and ignore the elephant.
Right. Mm-hmm. It could have easily gone that way.
Totally.
For people who don't know, he was hosting, it's the anniversary of the movie Wag the Dog, and he had a panel of people, Dustin Hoffman being one of them, and he kind of questioned Dustin Hoffman about what had happened years mm-hmm. ago while making the movie Wag the Dog with an intern, and Dustin Hoffman answered it, and John said, I got to be honest, I'm not happy with the mm-hmm. answer, and it kind of went off from there.
Yeah. I haven't seen it either.
I got to watch it.
You can find the footage online.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's not how you expect things to go.
Yeah, right.
And I also think that, like, we have a tendency to do things that are like smooth and easy, right? Safe. and not rock the boat. And I think like for him to use his position as like a known comedy figure and not do the thing that like, well, this will be easy for me. It'll give me a reputation as being a guy that's like easy to work with and everyone will be, you know, that will kind of have a soft touch with someone because they're, you know, a very talented actor and a legendary actor. Yeah. I think that it's like, it's cool for me as to see him be thorough about like, cause he'll, you know, it's stuff we talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And I think if it comes up on the show and he, instead of, you know, when he has a chance in his personal life, when he can interrogate it in the same way as like, cool to me to see.
Yeah.
Because that's what the show's all about. You know, everybody says stuff about Jimmy Fallon. He keeps the light on. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. But with John Oliver, it would be way different if he didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's, you know, it's like he's a good dude and it's good to work for someone who's like a thoroughly good person.
I love hearing that.
And who,
that is good.
And who doesn't, you know, he doesn't leave the office and get into a car powered with the blood of endangered seals and you know, drive to a floating mansion
that
in the
would be
sky.
Bad.
Yeah,
that would
be
all
bad.
Be very bad.
And you know, pal, you know, calls up Harvey Weinstein and has a dinner reservation with him.
Good. I'm glad that doesn't happen. Josh, it's so cool to meet you.
Thank you. Likewise.
And congratulations on all the good things happening to you. You deserve it
all.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate that. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Josh Gondelman is his name. A writer for Last Week Tonight. You can watch that on HBO or go see Josh live at Zany's tonight and or tomorrow night. Zany's.com has all your ticket information. We'll take a quick break and then there's more show. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, you want some good food when you're not out hens. The big yellow sign is your new best friend. They got waffles and bacon and coffee too, but an all-star breakfast comes with some room.
We love the Waffle House.
Oh, insane. So good.
You know, I was more excited to go to Florida, not for Walt Disney World, but to do my first trip to a Waffle House.
Yep.
I had never been there. You had often told me about Waffle House.
They're amazing, aren't they? Of all the chains that are in other places that we don't have locally, there's nothing coming in second place. It's just the Waffle House. I want one here so badly.
All right. Remember when we talked to the PR director for Waffle House, Pat Warner, back in September?
Yes.
He said he wasn't sure when, but sometime there would be a Waffle House near the Chicago metro area.
He was dangling a waffle. I was going to say a carrot, but he was dangling a waffle over us. We were trying to reach for it. We hope to have one very, very soon.
All right. Well, you and I both saw a story in the news. There's a guy who's out with his friends and he has a craving for something at Waffle House and he goes into a Waffle House and the guy who's working at the Waffle House is asleep.
Oh, no.
So I'd like you to meet Alex Bowen. Alex, how are you?
Hey, good morning, ma'am. How are you?
We're good. So you're out partying with friends and you want to go. What did you want at the Waffle House? I would go for a pecan waffle, or do you say pecan, and one of those little hash brown hockey pucks. What was your craving from Waffle House that night?
I always go for the old Texas bacon cheesesteak melt. That's my favorite.
And you can have that 24 hours a day. That doesn't lay in your stomach. That just it works itself perfectly through you, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
A bacon cheesesteak melt? What is that?
Yes, ma'am. It's the steak and bacon all put together and then cheese melted on top and put it on bread.
Sounds pretty good.
It does sound
it
pretty
does
good.
Sound pretty good.
It's delicious.
So you find the local Waffle House. It's late at night. You have your heart set on that particular meal.
A hankering. That's
a hankering,
what he had.
As the kids like to say. However, the cook is fast asleep. So what do you do then?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I checked around inside a little bit, walked outside, checked around, nothing. It was a ghost town. So I walked back in for a few more minutes. I knew that bacon was about 4 feet away, and I could just taste it. So I took spatula in hand, got up on the grill, and made it happen.
All right, here's my big question, and congratulations to you, Alex. First and foremost, how did you know how to make the Texas bacon cheesesteak melt? Just from all the years of ordering them, you knew how to construct it?
Yes, ma'am, that. And, I mean, I joined the military at 17, so I've been cooking for myself since then. I'm a pretty good cook, and I worked at some restaurants in college, so I have some skills.
Did anyone working or a patron of the Waffle House get afraid when they saw you take matters into your own hand?
Nobody saw me until the next day on camera. a patron nor an employee ever came in the store that night. I was totally alone.
All right, so you walk in, and the only employee is sleeping in a booth? He was just sleeping? You took a picture of him, didn't you?
I did, yes, ma'am.
So he's sound asleep. Did you try and rouse him at all?
Absolutely not. I mean, you walk in, you see somebody sleeping, you feel like, hey, go ahead and sleep, fam. I got this.
So did you write yourself up a little check, a receipt? Did you pay for it? What did you do?
Yes, ma'am. That evening, I made the sandwich and went ahead and headed on home. I figured if I left money, they would come back, the employees would come back and not have any idea what that money was sitting there for. So I went back the next day and I paid for the sandwich.
Alex, this is the question that begs to be answered, so I must. Is there any chance at all that alcohol played any part at all in your decision to cook there at the Waffle House?
Absolutely. I give all the credit to my old friend Vodka.
Okay, just making sure. All right.
All right. Now, I wish you would have gone there with somebody. You could have just done a whole spread. You could have made it for everyone.
Hey, I have to bring a crew with me next time.
So what happened? Did anybody from the Waffle House get in touch with you? I mean, what was the outcome? Were they mad at you for using – did you wash your hands? Did you abide by that sign that you must wash your hands before returning to the kitchen?
No, because, Wendy, it says employees must wash hands. Alex is just a patron. He doesn't have to wash his hands.
I did clean the grill. I will say that.
When I was done,
I made sure the grill was good and clean for them. So the next customers could have a good meal.
All right. Did the dude who was sleeping get fired? Because this went kind of viral here, and I'm wondering if he's in trouble for sleeping on the job.
Yes, ma'am. I talked to the Waffle House district manager, and they assured me that no one was getting fired over the incident, and they actually thanked me for pointing out a flaw in the operation so they could handle it.
And the flaw would be always have two people there.
Yes.
I mean, really, okay. Somebody cannot, you know, do the cooking, the cleaning, and ringing people up and waiting on tables. You need two people there.
Absolutely. I'd have to agree.
Hey, Alex, are you looking for a part-time job or something? Because I think Waffle House would like to hire you.
No, I like my job now. I think I'll stick with what I got.
What do you do now, and is it the kind of job that the sleeping guy from Waffle House could come in and replace you if you fell asleep at your job?
Absolutely not. I'm a professional flooring installer and home renovator.
Oh, excellent. I put in a tile myself over the weekend, a single tile.
Oh, very nice.
I know a lot of people want to do a whole floor. I'm a slow learner. I just do one tile.
Alex, you are adorable for going, congratulations
right,
for putting that one tile down.
Thank you, Alex. That was nice of you. We're very happy for you and proud of you, and this is quite an amazing story. But you showed that in certain circumstances, you have to take action. You have to do what needs to be done. You did it.
Oh, yeah. Got to do it. Got to make it happen.
Absolutely. Oh, one quick question, Alex. I've noticed in all my experiences at a Waffle House that anytime you visit one or pass by one of the letters in the Waffle House sign isn't working properly. The light bulb is burned out. Was that the case at the Waffle House that you visited?
I think their sign's good, sir.
Oh, it is? Oh, how about
that? Yeah, one of the few.
And which one was this? Which Waffle House?
It's a Waffle House in Three Fountains, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, where the light bulbs are working, but the cooks are not. That's their slogan there. Yeah, I know that one well.
Such a pleasure to meet you, Alex. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever it is that you celebrate. It was great to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all have a great day.
Take care. Thanks, Alex.
Alex Bowen,
sometime Waffle House cook.
He only cooks the Texas bacon cheesesteak melt. Got to be honest with you, cheesesteak, it does not sound good to me.
Well, not that late at night. I could do it a little bit earlier in the day or into night, but not at 3 in the morning. That would be a little problematic.
Although, is it like a patty melt with bacon?
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah.
I've never heard cheesesteak before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's a cheeseburger. Is that what it is, kind of?
Glorified cheeseburger, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a little busier.
Now I want pecan waffles so badly.
We're only 3.5 hours away from the closest Waffle House.
That's the closest
one? I think
one?
It is, yeah.
Didn't we have some little idea that we were going to road trip it with a bunch of listeners?
I'm still up for that.
We got to do it today. It's my last day for the year.
All right, we'll get it done before the show.
All right.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
We're going to the stream in about 10 minutes, and Steve Bertrand will be in here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. I wish he'd bring us some Waffle House.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wendy, what do you say about a guy, a pastor, not just a guy, but a pastor, a man of the cloth, a man who's devoted his life to the teachings of the Lord, to tell little kids that there is no Santa Claus.
What is he doing?
Yeah. This went on in Alaska. A pastor, a man named David Grisham, went to a local... I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe this place. There's a place in Alaska where they have Santa Claus set up, and then all around him are Christmas decorations. You can visit this place, and you can buy ornaments or gifts or stuff.
A gift shop?
While you're doing it. It's more than a gift shop. It looks like the North Pole.
So
it's
Santa's
stunning.
Home.
Yeah. So he decides, Pastor David Grisham decides, he's going to show up there and let all the kids and their parents know that there is no Santa Claus, that the reason behind Christmas is not gift-giving and Santa Claus, that it is baby Jesus. And it doesn't go over very well. Listen to this audio. This is Pastor David Grisham storming the castle in North Pole, Alaska, and telling children that there's no Santa Claus. What? Listen to this.
Hi, folks. Hi, kids. My name is Pastor David. I wanted to tell you guys that the real reason for the season for Christmas is about Jesus. Jesus Christ was born 2017 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem in Israel, and that Christmas is really all about Jesus. And I wanted to tell you kids today, too, that Santa Claus does not exist. Santa Claus is not real. The man you're going to meet today is a man wearing a suit, like a costume, and it's make-believe. It's not real. But Jesus is the real reason for the season. Jesus was born as a light into a world of darkness so that men could be born again in Christ, because he died on the cross and rose from the dead so they could be saved. That's the real reason for the season. But what you're going to see today is a man just dressed in a suit. He's not real. It's just fake. Your parents have been telling you a story that is not true. There are no reindeer, flying reindeers. Yes, ma'am.
We understand that you have your belief, but everybody else have their beliefs as well. If you would not interfere with our other customers, we really appreciate.
I'm not interfering. I'm just telling them the truth, and then I'll leave. I'll be done in about a minute.
No, sir.
She said leave, so go.
No, sir.
And
all right, first of all, can I just say something?
Yes.
That is the first and only time in my life I would punch a pastor.
Yes.
And if Jimmy Mack was there, I hate that he's a hothead sometime. He would be the person I would want to be there with, because he would have never let this guy continue this long with all those kids there. He would have said, sir, let's take this outside. I want to talk to you.
You can see a bunch of the parents. Oh. There's a video of this online. You can find it easily. You can see a bunch of the parents trying to process and figure out what is the best way to deal with this guy. He's a like we said, he is a pastor, and I understand his message. I totally get his message.
Wrong place,
but,
wrong audience.
Oh, the worst. All these kids that are standing in line so anxious to see Santa Claus, and Santa Claus just goes about his business. He handles it very well. It's not until the end that this one lady, the lady you heard toward the very end, comes and explains to him that...
That's her place of business, though. Right. Because she said, you know, you let us go about our business here.
And he does continue for another minute and a half. Same kind of thing. Hey, this isn't what Christmas is, with all the gift giving and the Santa. This is not what Christmas is supposed to be. And then finally, he's on his merry way.
Listen, I agree that it is about the birth of Jesus, and I agree that this man has a right to preach that at his church.
Right.
Santa Claus doesn't come into his church and says...
Oh, no? Wait, listen to this tape, Wendy. I have another tape I must play for you.
Shame on this man. And that, you know what? Jesus would not want you to be acting like this to break the hearts and spirits of all these young children.
Well said.
Waiting around.
Right. Well said. They show a couple of kids just kind of staring at him like, oh, what? Come on. I'm here to see the Santa. I don't need this. And all the parents, I would have taken the same course as you or your husband and said to him, hey,
why did it take
elsewhere.
So long? You hear a guy grumbling, this is not the place.
Yeah,
at the very beginning. Yeah. And then that guy again, after the woman comes forward and says, excuse me, but you'll have to take yourself outside. We can't have you in here. Then that same dude goes, yeah, I mean, listen to her. Like, why didn't he take matters into his own hand? And why the heck did they wait so long?
I can't figure that out. I don't know why. I think it's because everybody didn't know the exact way. Because this was such a surprise to these people who were there that they didn't know exactly what to do. So your first impulse is say to the guy to get lost, right? That's your first move. Remember I told you when my daughters were very little, we took them to see Santa Claus at one of the local shopping malls. And it was late. It was closing time. We were there at the very end. A half an hour later, we're in a restaurant in that mall. and Santa Claus has bellied himself up to the bar and is enjoying a cocktail. And my daughters see this.
God love them.
So I say to Santa, I go, Santa, I know that today was probably a very long day, but some of the kids that you just talked to are here in the restaurant, and maybe they don't want to see Santa enjoying a Jägermeister.
Santa can't drink? Who said that?
Santa can drink, but maybe privately is better. You know, with young children who have just given them their Christmas list, maybe they don't want to see Santa.
Why do you think his nose and his cheeks are red?
I know why.
Why do you think his tummy shakes like a bowl full of jelly?
I know why, but I don't want my daughters to know why. But I know why.
I can't believe, I got to be honest with you, I can't believe you went up and said something to him.
Oh, yeah.
And what did he do?
He was very good about it. He goes, oh, I thought all the kids would be fast asleep by now. And I said, well, some of them are not quite fast asleep yet. So Santa paid his bill and went.
You are so lucky.
But I know, because it could have ended very
could have been a bad Santa.
Yeah.
And that would have gotten very ugly seeing, you know, Santa beat the hell out of their dad.
That would have been awful.
Your daughters would have been more upset.
A Christmas to remember for many, many years.
Oh, my God.
So I hats off to the people who were there at this North Pole, Alaska.
The Westgate Mall in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, is that where it was?
Oh, I think
no, this says Santa. No, it says the Santa Claus house in North Pole, Alaska.
Oh, this was last year. Somebody did it, too.
Same
thing? Oh, shame on you people. Yeah, the same thing. There is no Santa. I wonder if it's the same guy.
Pastor David Grisham is his name.
Oh, my God. It's the same guy.
He does this every year? He goes to a different mall and does this?
Yes.
Wow.
The shouting man is David Grisham, an evangelical street preacher from Anchorage, Alaska. Shame on him.
I know.
Jesus would not approve of this.
No. Nope. All right. A quick break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Wendy's disgusted. So think about how much fun the stream is going to be. Listen in if you can, or stick around here as Steve gives you the Wintrust business line.